Here in Psalm 51, verse number 17, our text again for this Sunday's message and considering about repentance. Psalm 51, verse number 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for your people with a desire and a zeal to come and meet together this morning to worship you. Lord, help us in the day, and we thank you for the way that you've blessed in the day. We thank you for your word and the truth of it, the encouragement that it is unto us. Help, Father, that we not resist you in your word, Father, and that we not, as your children, we not despise your correction, even in that reproof and rebuke that comes to us from the word, Father, but help us to be soft and pliable in your hands, to see the truth as you deliver it unto us, Father, and that we would all be molded and made in the way that you want us to be, that we might be more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that he is, Father, that this lost and dying world might see Christ in us and your children. We pray, Father, for those who are here this morning and not saved, that, Lord, even in this hour, you would speak to them, Father, as you only can. Visit them with your word and your spirit, and, Lord, show them their great need. Lord, that great gulf that is between you and them, and, Lord, the sin that they have and the debt of that sin, Father, that they've sinned against you and they cannot pay for it in any wise. And, Lord, show them Jesus Christ high and lifted up as the Savior, Lord, for their souls and for their sins. Lord, work in that as you only can and just use us to speak what you have for each one of us out of your word. Help now, we pray, and bless. We need you, Father, and we pray that you'd visit with us. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a spirit, a will that has been broken down before God, a broken and contrite heart, the heart, the spirit of man humbled before the Lord, not boastful, not looking to make a deal or make a debate or try to levy or work some kind of concession about sin, but one that is before God and that says, as we've seen David in this passage last week, that where David cries out, "Have mercy on me, O God," verse number one, "I am guilty before you, I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry for my sin. I'm not sorry that I got caught. I'm sorry that I'm guilty of doing it before you." And Lord, in David's case, the Lord brought Nathan to David, and Nathan laid it out there in front of David and made it so very plain that thou art the man. Thou art the man. That could have cost Nathan his life. But nevertheless, the Lord sent him. The Lord was merciful unto David, and that he sent the prophet of God unto him. And Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, "You're the man, David. You've taken that one sheep from that poor man, when you've got all kinds and all that any one person could hope for as king, you have it, and you took that man. You are the man." And David was crushed in that. When the word of the Lord came to David, he was crushed. He said, "I've sinned against God. I've sinned against the Lord. I've done this wickedness in his sight." And he is in this psalm and in other psalms repentant for his sin. We want to see here in Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist is preaching in regards to this thing of repentance. When in this passage in Psalms 51, we've taken a look at repentance, and in the message last week, we considered repentance for the sinner in need of salvation and for the child of God. The example here with David is the child of God that has been brought to repentance, to contrition, to that humility of heart, to that acceptance of the guilt and acceptance of all that there is that goes with that transgression against the Lord. That it is the Lord. It is there with the child of God. When we sin as children against God. And may the Lord help us that our sin not be willful. But in many times, in many ways, it is. We know better, but we don't do better. And may the Lord help us that we would repent. Do you have a child that needs to be saved? Do you have a grandchild that needs to be saved? Do you have family that needs to be saved? Are we there guilty of sin and wickedness willfully before God? Even as we're going to see in this scripture with the resistance and the fighting against God, just even in our heart. our attitude about things. We go ahead and maybe do, but in the soul and the heart, we despise the word of the Lord, maybe. It can happen as children. May the Lord help us that we would be open and honest before God as David was, and as children, and we not buck against the Lord, even in the depths of our soul where no one else can see, but that we'd be repentant before the Lord, and that we'd be soft and pliable before the Lord, and we'd not put up that stiff neck and that adamant forehead and that hard chin and stand up and buck against the Word of God, but that we might be soft and repentant before Him as His children. For you that are not saved, and for those that are without Christ, we've taken this and here this example in Psalm 51. That of David, and that issue of repentance is there with you. Will you not believe God and what He says? You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. You have no hope. Nothing you can claim. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can pay. And will you go ahead and continue to seek your own way? And deny the truth of God's Word coming to you that you are a guilty sinner. You stand condemned now before God. And you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the only hope you have. Repentance. Oh, it's such a universal thing. Repentance. Submission before the Lord. Brother John the Baptist here is preaching. And we pick this passage up in Matthew chapter 3 to take a look about this issue, this thing of repentance, this doctrine of repentance, and the things that are there in it. In Matthew chapter 3, John is here preaching, and in verse number 5 we pick it up. Then went out to him, to John the Baptist, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. They heard of his preaching, they heard of his ministry, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Salvation and damnation are those things that are indicated there. John clarifies it, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here John is preaching, and there are those that come to John, and he says, he points his finger at them, he says, bring fruits meet for repentance. Bring an action, bring a thing that's indicative of the repentance of your heart and your soul. We're not talking about works, we're talking about what repentance yields. It'll yield a humble heart, it will yield contrition, it will yield an understanding of guilt before God. And they didn't have it. They came in their same old proud way, in their same old Pharisaical and Sadduceical way. They had their heads lifted high, their chins in the air. They were all decked out with the stuff that they wore, saying, aren't we righteous? Seems like it's popular to come down to you here, John, and get baptized. So let's go ahead and get with it. We've got things to do. Amen? Fruits meet for repentance. There was something that John saw in those that came. Now, can there be fakers? Sure. Sure there can be fakers. Weep and moan and carry on as we would look on it and understand it to be fakery and treachery. Did not Judas do the same? He did. So it's not about taking it and working it up in ourselves, but it's about the Spirit of God and, as we saw last time, the Word of God bringing conviction to us. That we're sinful, we're sinners, we're guilty. I've sinned against God, I'm guilty of this. Or you that are here and not saved, that you're guilty before God in your soul and your heart and your life. You're guilty before Him. You're desperate. You need a Savior. And you need to trust in Jesus Christ. John was looking for something. And he didn't see it in these guys. They make a claim here. He says here, and he shuts them off. Man, he cuts them off at the pass. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits that are equitable, that are meet for repentance, that are representative of repentance. Bring that contrition. Bring that sorrow of heart. Bring that rejoicing of the light shining in your life that you've been shown that you're guilty and that you're sorry for it and that you claim the forgiveness that God offers through His Son. Bring that and bring that showing of it. That it comes from down within. And he tells these birds, he says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. That was the case with them. But think not to say within yourselves, I've got justification for my sin. I've got justification for the way that I feel. I've got justification for my bitterness or my anger or my wickedness or that which I claim. No, you don't. No, I don't. I don't have justification. I can't lay it on anybody's plate. I can't lay it on the reason because they've done me this or they've done me that or they've done me the other. There's no reason that we can claim other than we're guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. We're guilty. And think not to say within yourselves you've got justification for it. Because you don't. You don't. We don't. I don't. Self-righteousness and self-justification. But I've done this and I've done that. There you go. Going down the wrong path. I've been faithful. Going down the wrong path. Don't get it. Don't understand it. You can't take the past and lay it forward for the future. Today is the day of service. Today is the day of obedience. Today is the day of repentance before the Lord. If we have that we need to repent of. Fruits meet for repentance. John was looking for it, and he turned these fellows down in their approach to him about being baptized. They didn't identify with Christ. They didn't claim Christ. John knew full well when Christ was going to be manifested there that they would reject Him. And they rejected even John's message. They just went after it because it was popular. You know, the Lord never has played a popularity contest, has He? He's not a respecter of men. He doesn't care. I've been thinking about that and relative to even our situation. Fear not, little flock. Isn't that what the Lord says? Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to do this or that for you. He tells Abraham, He tells Israel, I didn't choose you because you were great. I chose you because I wanted to. I've set my love and affection upon you. Here in 1 John chapter 1, we want to take a look at this doctrine of repentance as we're considering it. This is a passage that shows the principle of repentance, but it is directly aimed at you and I as the children of God. It's coming straight at you and me. All right? With that which we see in the example of David in Psalm 51, David is there and the principles of repentance are there. A broken will, a broken heart, a contrition from the soul of conviction of sin from within. And we can say that that's the case with you and I as the children of the Lord, or you and me as the children of the Lord. We can say that it's so and it's there for the one that's in need of salvation. The principle, the way of repentance, it's there. And that principle and that way of repentance is here found in 1 John chapter 1, but it's directed right at you and me, we that are saved. We that are saved. And listen to what it says. John chapter 1, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. See, John wants to remind us of where we've been brought, what we've been brought from, and who's done it. And we need that reminder. We need it. It'll help us. It'll help us. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, praise God, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. We're a witness of it, which was with the Father and was manifested and shown forth unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. I'm just passing on to you what I've got. All right? And that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We can't spend time on that, but consider about the fellowship. We as the children of God have fellowship one with another, and it is telling about our fellowship with the Lord. You don't like the children of God? You don't want to fellowship with the children of God? Look out. You may have problems in your house. I'm talking about your soul, your life. You don't want to be around the children of God? Look out. Wait a minute. Well, that one bugs me. Yeah. Okay, pray for him that he won't bug you. And then go ahead and be around him and extend yourself. Amen? Because if we got problems with the fellowship with the brethren, it's going to show we got problems with fellowship with our Lord. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Be willing to forgive. Yeah. And that fellowship, that we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Joy in the Lord. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness. He's light. No darkness at all. That's a definition, one of the definitions of God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's our mouth, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because the Lord doesn't have any darkness in Him. And we say we got fellowship with Him, but then we walk in darkness, we sin, we're lying. So now we're walking in darkness, we're guilty of that. Saying something else, we're guilty of that. We just sin and sin and sin. It's there. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin by walking in the light. Being near to the Lord. Being near to the people of the Lord. And of course, with us and joining His church, we know that that's plain and that it's talking about us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Can you deceive yourself? Can you lie to yourself? You sure can. My mama told me that one day. She said, Jimmy, don't lie to yourself. I said, what? You're lying to yourself, son, thinking that, believing that. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here it is. If we confess our sins to the Lord, you don't have to confess them to me. Just get honest and right with the Lord about it. David, in that psalm that we saw on the front end of Psalm 51, he was so brought to the point by conviction of the Lord and His Spirit and the truth of God's Word as Nathan brought it to him, and that was all revealed there and it was broken out. He was pliable in the Lord's hands. And he said, purge me. I'm confessing and repenting of this sin. But Lord, help me to see others that I've got too. Because we may have deceived ourselves about this one. Pardon me. This one. This one, that one, or the other one. We may have done it. And David, as he engages the Lord and repents of his sin, he wants other sin to be manifested so he can repent of that. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. Make me to enjoy that fellowship, Lord, that's been lost. That I might be close to you again, because it's brought a wedge between us. And we're going to see what the result of that is as we go back to that psalm. But if we confess our sins, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as the children of God. Oh, what a blessing! Our soul has been saved. My sin does not stand against me eternally because that which I have guilty was guilty of before God, before the Lord saved me. Jesus Christ has paid for that. I don't stand condemned anymore. You don't stand condemned anymore. But now as this child, the Spirit of God living within, but yet strapped to this old flesh and this old mind, I may sin against Him and will sin against Him. But I got the privilege and blessing. Father, forgive me for having that attitude. Father, forgive me for thinking that thing against them. Father, forgive me for saying that thing or doing that thing. Father, forgive me for chasing after that wickedness that You've saved me from. Lord, I don't want that in my life. Cleanse me. Take it away. Help me that I might honor and serve You. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. That whole stand, that thing, that the doctrine that some hold to about sinless perfection. Since the day the Lord saved me, I haven't sinned a bit. You just did it because you're a liar. Every time you've told that, you've sinned. Not to mention what you have done, thought, and said. And so here it is again. Confession. You know, the best that repentance is when you and I are called on the carpet by the Lord, just me and Him. Him and you. You hear what I'm saying? The Lord convicting us. Not your brother or your sister coming to you and saying, which we should do. Brother, I got concern about it. Sister, I've got a concern about what's going on in your life. Look here at the Word of God. And I'm worried about you about this. The Lord uses that, and we should be a help one to another in that way. Sometimes my way and my attitude's bad, and I need somebody to tell me and help me with that as an example. But I tell you what, when the Spirit of God convicts and the Spirit of God speaks in that still small voice and we are brought to recognize our failure and our sin before the Lord, that's the best that it is. That's the Spirit of God moving in us. It didn't go to the part so far that somebody else had to become involved. It didn't manifest itself publicly where the church had to get involved. But it got headed off at the pass by the Lord and the Word of God and the Spirit of God moving within the believer. Amen. Are we willing to say to the Lord and pray to the Lord, Lord, show me where I've sinned against You. Help me to see my transgression, that I might get it right before You, before it gets farther out to where we have to have the help of our brother or sister, we got to have the help of the church, or some thing come apart in our life, some adversity come upon our life, that the Lord takes that for the Lord to get our attention. Amen? You see what I'm saying? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we take the attitude and we say we have not sinned. I'm not guilty of anything, Brother Jim. I'm not guilty of it. We make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. And there's the key. His Word is not in us. We need His Word. Back in Psalm 51, in verse number 13, after David has repented before the Lord, and he's asked the Lord to cleanse him. He's asked the Lord to create in him a new heart. He begs the Lord not to cast him away, and he begs the Lord to restore unto David the joy of his salvation, of the Lord's salvation. In verse number 13, he reveals to us, and the Word reveals to us, then what we can do Then, verse number 13 of Psalm 51, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Well, that's pretty proud. But does not the Lord use means? Does he not use means to take his word and carry his word to others? Transgressors need taught the ways of the Lord. Sinners need to hear about their sin and their wickedness, their need for repentance and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation and forgiveness and everlasting life through him. And you know what? The Lord's going to use us to take it to them. Transgressors need to hear about the ways of the Lord. Nathan was sent to David, was he not? David was a transgressor. And the Lord used his brother, not in the flesh, but Nathan, being saved, went to David, who was saved, and was used of God to reveal his sin. David says, I'm guilty. You're right, Nathan, I've sinned against God. But only when we are in fellowship with the Lord and we have repented and the Lord has washed us, and indeed it is to an extent an ongoing process. But David says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Do you think about how it was in David's house after he had sinned with Bathsheba and denied it openly and there and took her to wife and the child that was illegitimate, if you will, died. The Lord took the life of that child as judgment and chastisement against David. And David's boldness in that wickedness, having murdered a man, that was dedicated to him. Can you imagine how it was in David's house? As the servants, as those in his cabinet, as his counselors and those that attended on him and waited on him, Joab there, his general, and what they said in private and what they said in secret about David, this man after God's own heart that had pursued after this wickedness. And boy, he sure has gotten cold, hadn't he? He sure has gotten hard, hadn't he? Boy, I remember a day when David, if he'd have heard that case, he would have judged this way. But now his attitude is this way. He says, with the joy of thy salvation restored and thy free spirit, Father, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Trying to be a witness for the Lord and harboring sin in our lives won't work. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Deliver me from it. He murdered a man. Have you and I ever thought so ill and so hard and so bad against somebody that in our hearts and our minds we would want them dead or we would want them hurt or compromised? We're guilty. Lord, deliver me from that. It cultivates a cold, wicked spirit within. Hatred. Bitterness. Deliver me from that, Father, that my tongue shall sing aloud thy praises, aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Lord, I've been shut up by this sin that's been in my life, that I've not confessed, that I've not repented of, and it's made me cold. It's maybe where I can't be used to praise your name. I can't be a right witness to those round about me that are in need of you in one way or another. It's hurt me. It's hurt my life for you. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. I line up 100 for you, Lord. But that's not what you want. You don't want that, the death of an animal and the blood of an animal shed. That's not what you really want. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, as the Lord is using his prophet to deal with the first king of Israel, Saul, we see here an interesting thing that's said and a true thing that's said relative to this. In 1 Samuel 15, verse number 22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" When you weigh him up there, Saul, does the Lord really have a great delight in the in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or does he higher esteem obedience, hearkening to his voice? What's that word hearken mean? The children have learned that in their Sunday school class. Hearken means to hear and obey. It's twofold. To hear it, to receive it and believe it, that it's so, and be led to action to obey it, to hearken. Samuel asked Saul that, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Saul had been given instruction. He'd been told what to do concerning this nation that was to be destroyed before the Lord. And he said, "Well, we'll destroy most of it, but this and this we're going to keep." And, oh, that's right, we weren't supposed to keep that. We're going to use it to sacrifice unto God. We got a better idea. We don't ever have a better idea than the Lord, folks. He's the Creator, we're the created. He's God, we're the children. He's the Master, we're the servants. We are subject to Him. We've got to keep that order right. He says, "Behold, to obey," there in the middle of verse 22, "is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Boy, when you're talking about sacrifices, the fat of rams, boy, that's a really, really good thing. That's a great and wonderful thing. But to hearken's better than that. Because you know what's happening? To hearken, the child of God, the sinner, if you will, is believing God from everything that there is within, and is content with it, is satisfied with it, and taking up sides with it, even though it's contrary to us. You hear what I'm saying? The sinner, and that the sinner says, "Yes, God's right. Yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I deserve hell. And God's just in doing it." It's not good for the sinner if it stops right there. But it's lining up with what God says, amen? For the child of God that says, "I'm guilty against sin and against you, Lord. Or you've given me instruction what to do, and I'm going to do that." Because the Spirit of God has worked within. The child of God has been sensitive to the still small voice. And God hadn't had to get up and jump up and down and scream and holler to get the child of God's attention by bringing some adversity in their life. Better, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God says a thing in His Word, and you and I disobey it. We go against it. It's just like being a witch. It's just like sorcery. Think about it. God gives the command. He wants a thing done in a certain way. And you and I take that up and go against it and disobey it. It's like being a witch, pursuing after sorcery, pursuing after witchcraft. That's devilish, isn't it? For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. That old stiff neck, that old self-justification, that old self-righteousness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because what's happening? We're putting what we think before what God says. And anything that's put between us and the Lord is indeed an idol. We hear the word of the Lord. May God help us. May God help us. Back in Psalm 51, verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it." And David could have. "Thou delightest not in burnt offering." But then we were brought to our text verse, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You won't abhor that, Lord. Because see, that's what the Lord has shown us. The Lord has shown thee, O man, what is required of thee, to love justice and to love judgment, and to walk humbly with thy God. relationship with the Lord. Relationship, being enjoined in fellowship with the Lord. First, by repentance of our sin and our wickedness and our vileness, our depravity before Him, and seeing Jesus Christ crucified for us, being saved by Him, and joined in that fellowship restored that's been broken because of sin and wickedness in our federal head, Adam, and our willful choice. That being re-enjoined. And then as the child of God, listening to the Lord and hearing the Lord and obeying the Lord and being conformed, the Spirit of God having power within us, and this old flesh and this old mind being nailed down and mortified, and being moved by the Spirit of God that we might walk with Him and serve Him well and be a witness of His will and way and word in this world. Amen. A broken and contrite heart thou wilt not despise. And then he goes on, he says, he makes a plea to the Lord, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Now David's not concerned about himself, but he's concerned about the Lord's city, the Lord's nation, the Lord's hill there in Jerusalem. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem, Father. Make us strong in thee. Make thy city and thy people to prevail. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. And it'll mean something, because it's coming from a desirous heart to please the Lord. The man that brought the sacrifice for himself or for his family, he wanted to back there at the paddock. He wanted to back there where he raised the animal. And he was enjoying it from then, rather than taking the thing and, to use a vernacular, packing it up there to the tabernacle or the temple and grudging it the whole time. Because his heart was wrong. But then, Lord, we'll enjoy it from the time that we enjoy it when we're raising that one that we don't find any blemish in. How is it between the Lord and you and the quietness there of your home? And you yourself just being there by yourself. How is it with you and the Lord? How is that relationship? Is there fellowship there? Is there an enjoyment of the Lord there? If there's not, it may be because of sin. If there's not, it may be because you're not saved. And only you and the Lord can know. But repentance. Salvation is by grace through faith, through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the beginning of a life of repentance and faith. Is that happening in our lives? Is that happening in your life? Is that happening in my life? Turn over to Romans chapter 12. He says here, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. In our day, we don't offer sacrifices. We don't offer bullocks. We don't offer the fat of rams. What is our sacrifice? In Romans chapter 12, it tells us plainly. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God's not really interested in dead sacrifices. The only sacrifice that made a difference was His Son. And He was only dead for a little while. Just as long as He needed to be, amen, to get the job done. Right. And He lives forevermore. To give us life. To give us life. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That body be holy, that body be acceptable unto God. And that's your reasonable service. That's just getting started. And be not conformed to this world. Lord, being my helper, I want to preach a message on conformity. Conformity is a thing that we, you and I, this world, that mankind, men, women, boys, and girls are plagued with. We don't even know it. Being conformed. We want to be accepted. We want to be accepted. And Lord helps and blesses with that message, I'm going to bring some things that you'll know to be true that we are plagued with. But you know what the Lord says? Don't be conformed to this world. Because the conformity to this world will take you straight to hell, and it'll lead to death and destruction and misery. For the child of God, it'll bring woe and misery, hardship and heartache. Don't be looking around to see what everybody else is doing. If you're saved and you're the child of God, you look to the Lord and determine what to do. Amen? Look to His Word to determine what to do. Don't, when there's an opinion to be asked and you start to raise your hand that you agree with a particular answer or such, don't be looking around to see what everybody else is. You give the answer of your heart. And be comfortable there living before the Lord. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in you being shown out. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There's a manifestation of repentance that happens physically that can be seen in this body. There are words of repentance that come forth in that action and that showing forth of repentance. But then there's a thing also of that contrition that comes from within. It comes from within. And you know, it's not a thing that you can necessarily put your finger on. A certain motion that we do. Like if I was said, if it was such that when I'm repentant, I always did this. You would see it. You see what I'm saying? But we have words of repentance. We have action of repentance, but there's that which comes from the soul that's manifested in this flesh and in the spirit, in the attitude. It's hard to lay hand on how to describe it, isn't it? But John saw it, and then others, John didn't see it. Sometimes one might cry. Sometimes one might be happy. You see what I'm saying? Emotion may come forth. It's not the emotion that's the repentance or the contrition, but it's a result of it having worked in the heart. Repentance. Have you repented? Have you repented? Do you repent? For you that are here and not saved, you need to repent and believe the gospel. For we that are saved, may the Lord help us. We repent of our sins. Amen. And the Lord show them to us. The Lord show me my sin, that I might repent of it and get it right, and get that unconfessed, unrepented of sin, get that out of the way, so the fellowship would be closer and sweeter and better. Oh, and we long for a day when faith will be turned into sight. Amen. Won't be any need of repentance there, because I'll be completely saved, have that body and that mind that won't be hindered in this way. But you know what? Praise God that He's made a provision for it, hadn't He? That we as His children, we can confess our sins before the Lord, and He's faithful. That means He'll do it. And He's just. He's got a way He can do it that yields no problem. There won't be leftover. There won't be something that I got to take care of. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance. May the Lord help.